Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's nice to be here with all of you on this nice, warm August day. And I don't know about you. If you know anything about me, you know I'm a sports fan, right? And one of the things that's great about sports is everybody gets nicknames. And so I don't know if you know some of the nicknames of some of our sports heroes here in New York. Mariano Rivera, who is a Yankee pitcher, great Yankee pitcher. What was his nickname? You remember? The Sandman, right? They call him the Sandman because when he entered the game, you knew it was almost over. It's time to go home and go to bed, right? And one of the old Yankees, you know, never missed a game. His name was Lou Gehrig. They called him the Iron Horse, right? Reggie Jackson showed up and played and hit a few home runs in the World Series, and so they called him Mr. October. And some other Yankees, I think Dave Winsfield, he didn't do so well in October. They used to call him Mr. May, you know, and kind of rub it in a little bit with all of that. And for you Met fans, remember what they used to call Gary Carter? He was the kid, right? Because he had such enthusiasm about the game. He just played it like a kid, he never got tired of this whole thing. Well, you know, you look at all those nicknames, and the great thing about a nickname is not only helps you to get closer to other people, it kind of builds an intimacy, but it tells you something about them. So this summer, we've been talking about the names of God. I guess you might say they're the nicknames. They're the names, different ways that we talk about God and who He is, and it gives us more understanding about what God is like, who Jesus is, what He's like, and we put all this together. So we're having fun looking at this. So today we're going to look at one that's very familiar, and it comes from a very familiar passage in the Bible called the 23rd Psalm. I think if you want to follow along today, you can use the Shelter Rock Bibles and go to page 548. If you haven't found, you usually can take your Bible and put it in somewhere right in the middle, and you'll find the book of Psalms. It's the 23rd chapter. Now, this is one of the most famous passages of Scripture. And I would say probably 10 years ago, this might have been the number one passage of Scripture that people would know. I checked this week and I found out that, our younger generation is, they're texting and tweeting shorter passages rather than the 23rd Psalm, which is six verses with all that. But I'm going to ask you, how many of you ever in your life, at some point in your life, you could recite the 23rd Psalm? So I'm not going to scare you, okay? I'd like you to stand up. I'm not going to call on you to do it. I know you're going to think he's got something up his sleeve here right now. I just want to see how many of you at some point in your life, maybe you can't do it now, at some point in your life you knew the 23rd Psalm. You could just stand up. I just want to see how many. Yes, look at this. Look at the cross. My goodness. I mean, it was that powerful, really stayed with us. So let's all stand up. And we've got to be on the screen. These six verses, so well known, so much apart. Now, this is the NIV version, so some of the words are a little bit different. But let's read this together. This is God's word for us today. We're going to be looking at the Lord is my shepherd. Here we go, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. This is God's word. Let's just stop and have a moment of prayer. God, we thank You for these words. Thank You that the power and the meaning behind them really tells us what You think about us. Lets us know what You're like, that You love us and care for us like a shepherd cares for its sheep. Father, I pray that You'd help us this morning to understand it even deeper, understand it even more, and that we might have a sense of connectedness with You that's stronger than ever before. So be with us this morning, and in these next few minutes, talk to each one of us. And I say this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you. You can be seated. You all did very well, okay? And I'm sure that some of you probably can recite it right now, even if I put you on the spot. I'm sure you'd do okay. You know, some people, it's such a familiar passage of Scripture that some people have kind of compartmentalized it. In fact, a lot of times people say, because we often say it so often at funerals, people have almost gotten to the point where they expect to hear it at a funeral, and they really don't expect to hear it anyplace else. In fact, it's often known as the funeral psalm, the 23rd psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. Sometimes I go to visit people at the hospital, and I'll take my Bible along. I'll say, I'll read you something. And I'll start reading the 23rd psalm. They'll grab my hand. They go, they didn't tell me. Am I dying? Right? You know? Like, well, why are you reading this to me? No, I don't want to hear this, right? Well, guess what? It's not a funeral psalm. I mean, this psalm, although we read it in those moments, it's really about life. Dallas Willard, a great Christian thinker and a great influence on me, he says that we really ought to make the Psalm 23 part of our daily life. He said, I'll write you a prescription. If you want to have a better life, you want to feel better, you want to have a better frame of mind, if you want to have more energy and more confidence, he said, I'll write you a prescription. Take Psalm 23 twice a day. Once in the morning and once in the evening, when you first get up and just before you go to bed. And I think that reading it really will make an impact on how you feel and what how your outlook on life is. Think of the difference it would make if that when you get out of bed, I don't know whether you bounce out of bed, crawl out of bed, fall out of bed. I don't know how what it's like for you in the morning. But that, like, when you swing your legs around and you sat there on the side of your bed before you got up, you just said the 23rd Psalm. You just said, the Lord is my shepherd. I mean, that's kind of saying, I'm getting ready to take my first step of the day, and guess what? I have someone who's leading me, someone who cares about me, someone who's here for me. I'm entering into this day with such great confidence because the Lord God is with me. And then you say, I shall not want, or I will lack nothing. To have that confidence, to walk into our world where people are constantly telling you what you need, constantly telling you need more of these things, constantly trying to stir you up to want more, to desire more, not only what other people have, but more things that you think will make you happy, that you could actually sit there and just say, I don't want anything today. God has given me all that I need, and I'm free. I'm not going to be badgered by all this advertising and by all the other things that people talk about. I'm not going to be struggling with that. God's given me everything I need, and I'm just content with Him. And wouldn't that be a great way to get up and start your day? And what a great way to go to bed at night. And just to know that the God who's been with you throughout the day is watching over you. And that you go to bed without any anxiety, without any torment, or without any being upset about, you know, worried about this and that, and how you're going to pull all these things off. So there you go. I've written your prescription. If you don't get anything else out of it, read Psalm 23 twice a day, once in the morning, once in the evening, and see if it doesn't make a difference in your life. Well, so we see that, there's two major characters in this psalm. One is the shepherd, okay? And we see, well, who's the shepherd? Well, God's the shepherd. In fact, we talk about Jesus being the shepherd. Jesus actually followed up very well in this. John chapter 10, he talks about being the good shepherd himself. He said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. They know my voice. And he said, I gather them together. I watch out for them. And a good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A little bit of a kind of advanced thinking about, you know, what Jesus was going to do for his disciples and for the whole world. And so Jesus pictures himself as being the shepherd. Oh, he looks pretty good in this picture, doesn't he? I mean, he looks like somebody who's like really, you know, looks sharp. He looks capable. He's got his sheep under his control, under his eye. They're under his care. And so he looks out for us. And I think that God's really basically used David to kind of write this psalm to tell us, yes, that is the picture. Some people say, well, David wrote this as a young boy. He was naive. He didn't, you know, he was just out in the fields kind of singing songs because he was bored to death. And I'm sure he came up with a little ditty here called The Lord is My Shepherd. I'm not so sure about that. I think when you read through the psalm and you look at some aspects of this, you really understand that David's had some life experiences. He's had some ups and he's had some downs. He's been through some tough times in his life, and I think he's putting it all together in the perspective of kind of saying, well, let me tell you, the Lord is like a shepherd to me. Like the same way that I learned as a young boy how to take care of a flock of sheep. That's what I've learned. I've learned that God is, he's the ultimate shepherd, that he's really, I've learned that he's taking care of me even in a better way than I took care of my own sheep. And so he is the shepherd, and that he's the one who looks over us. And when you stop and realize that, that's one of the greatest realizations you can have in your life, that God really knows you. He knows your name. He knows your voice. He wants to communicate with you. He wants to be with you. He wants to lead you. I mean, that's one thing about sheep. You know, sheep aren't driven. Sheep don't just wander off by themselves. For sheep to have a productive life, they need to be led. And God wants to let you know that he wants to be the shepherd in your life, to lead you to where he knows, well, you'll find fulfillment, you'll find satisfaction, you'll be developed to be the person that he wants you to be. Well, the second character in this, of course, is the sheep. That's us. That's a good-looking sheep there, huh? Right? Well, guess what? I often thought, couldn't God have maybe picked another animal? You know, if he's going to make a metaphor out of this whole thing, like, I'd rather be like a cougar, you know, or a panther, you know, that, you know, I'd like to be something that's got a little more beauty and a little more strength and got a little more danger and, you know, a little more agility. I mean, sheep aren't very agile, right? They're a little bit awkward and they don't look too comfortable on their feet. They're not exactly the smartest animals that have ever lived. I mean, I'm not trying to offend anybody here. How many of you own sheep? Do you have sheep at home? No? Okay. So, you know, we don't really take them for pets. They're not really that lovable. They don't really smell that good. Nobody really puts them in acts, you know, like they don't have dancing sheep and sheep that do tricks, right? I mean, they're just, well, I don't, they're just kind of average animals, right? And they're not always the brightest. They need guidance and they need help. Thanks, God. This is how you picture us, right? Maybe he's got us just right. He understands. In fact, he had Isaiah, right? He says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him, meaning Jesus, the shepherd, laid on him the iniquities of us all. All the mistakes that we make, guess what? Our shepherd ends up paying for all of those things. And isn't it a beautiful picture? You've seen this picture where Jesus talks about how, you know, the shepherd counts the sheep. He's got 100 sheep and the 99 are safe in the fold and one's missing. And what does the shepherd do? Oh, he goes looking, right? And he looks and looks until he finds the sheep, and he's in some kind of precarious position, and he's in danger, and he picks up the sheep. You've seen the picture where sometimes Jesus puts it around his neck, picks that little lamb and carries it back, or holds it in his arms and brings it back with all of that. And what a great picture that God comes looking for us, that he keeps his eye on us, that he cares about us, and that he's willing to go as far as he needs to go to find us and bring us back to safety. Has he done that for anybody here? Have you felt that in your life? That you know that it's true? That's the God that we're talking about? That he didn't leave you alone when you wandered away? In fact, he came looking for you? Well, that's really the message of all this. And the central message of this whole psalm is about God's presence in our life. And it's about the opportunity that we have to really be connected with him. That's the whole story. In fact, that's the real whole story of your life. You were created to have fellowship with God. You were created to walk with him and to be in community with him, to be a friend of God. God made Adam and Eve, and he walked with them. And since then, you know, the decisions that they've made, we've often thought, oh, thanks, God, for making me, but I'll go my own way. When in fact, God really made us to be in step with him. What's ahead when we talk about heaven? I mean, we won't be sitting on a cloud playing a harp. You know, those cartoons are silly, right? We're going to be in fellowship with God. We're going to be with him. He's going to walk with us. We're going to know him and be part of, we'll know his voice, he'll know us. I mean, that's what it's going to be like. And in a sense, when we first come to Christ here in this life, heaven really is already beginning. It's not we don't live in a perfect place, and we're certainly not perfect people, but God's presence has come to be with us, and his Holy Spirit's presence in our life leads us into a new way of thinking and a new way of living. And it makes a difference, doesn't it? And just think about the day when it's going to come, when all the evil is removed and all the temptations are gone, and all the sorrow and all the pain is gone, and we'll be with him forever. I mean, the whole story is about us being connected to God because God is with us and with our life. So that's kind of that's where we're looking at. So we're going to take these four sections in the 23rd Psalm this morning and quickly kind of look at them. It's layers and layers and layers. I'll only touch just a few. So from verses 1 to 3, we basically read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He refreshes my soul, and he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." So we get this very clear picture. The shepherd is with us. We see, you know, that David is kind of telling this story. He's kind of saying, listen, I've been a warrior, I've been a charismatic leader, I've been a popular king, but guess what? I've really found out that I really need to have a shepherd. I really need someone who really watches over me, because I'm like every other man. David decided to do it his own way. I don't know if Frank Sinatra's album was out when David was alive or not, but I think he was humming, you know, "I'll do it my way," right? And we've still been humming that. We kind of have our own thoughts and our own ways about doing these things. We had moments of kind of wandering away like sheep, and each one of us has gone our own way. And we kind of think we don't need any help from God. We can find our own way. This next picture kind of shows what happens when sheep decide they don't need the shepherd, okay? Take a look at this. Yep, this is what goes on when the shepherd's not around, right? Just kind of like, we'll find our own way home. Like, we'll just see what happens with all of that. I like Max Lucado's great little book called Traveling Light. It's one of the best books about the 23rd Psalm. If you want to really dig into it, he kind of really deals with all of this. And in it, he kind of writes a little parody about the way all of us sometimes write our own psalm. Okay? Here's what it sounds like. "I am my own shepherd. I'm always in need. I stumble from mall to mall and from shrink to shrink, seeking relief but never finding it. I creep through the valley of the shadow of death, and I fall apart. I fear everything from pesticides to power lines. And I'm starting to act like my mother. I go down to my weekly staff meeting and I'm surrounded by enemies. I go home and even my goldfish scowls at me. I anoint my headache with extra strength Tylenol. And my Jack Daniels runneth over. Surely misery and misfortune will follow me, and I will live in self-doubt for the rest of my lonely life." Well, that's our psalm, right? When we decide to live without him, you know, look at the path that we get ourselves on and where we go to with all of this. You know, I think that David had experienced his own lostness. And he said, in the middle of my own lostness, in the middle of my own wanderings, the ways that I disobeyed God and ignored God, he said, "Yeah, guess what I found out? This is how much God cares for me." When you read this psalm and you think about the shepherd and the sheep, you get this picture that God really wants to free us from the prison of wanting things. He wants to coach us to be content with less of the temporary goods of this world. He wants us to experience the joy of life that we can get from being with the people that we love. That he wants us to experience the gratitude, you know, to be with the people in our family who are with us, to not only give it, but to receive it, so that we can really understand what's really important in life. I mean, you've had those moments, haven't you? With all the things that are in your garage or in your apartment and all the things that you own and everything else, and you suddenly realize that when you finally find out that someone in your family appreciates you and loves you, and they begin to express that to you, it's more important than anything else that you own, right? And when we understand God's love in our life and His presence in our life, all the other things that we have really don't matter. Our shepherd leads us to still waters. You know, one of the things that happen, sheep don't, you know, when the water is moving, the sheep don't relax. And when you don't relax, you really can't stop and drink and enjoy those moments. God leads us to still waters so that we can relax and focus on what really matters without having worry and anxiety. You know, sheep, they have a lot of predators. They don't have much of a defense system to fight predators off. They're constantly worried about what's going to happen to them. And many of us would say, I got some sheepish moments in my life. It just seems like things are coming at me from all different directions. And I wonder, how am I ever going to protect myself with these things? And God yet comes along and in this psalm basically says, I'll give you the strength. I'll give you the protection. You can lay down and sleep at night because you know what? I'm going to be guarding the door. I'm going to be here watching over you. And you don't have to worry about anything. So the shepherd leads us. He leads us in a path of righteousness, going His way, doing what's right, doing the things that please God. So we don't have to let disappointments discourage us. We don't have to let anxiety kind of torment us and bother us all the time. We don't have to be worried if we're good enough or if what we've done is acceptable to other people. Our shepherd loves us. We're acceptable to Him. He loves us just as we are. And He'll find a way for us to grow and to be strong in all of Him. Well, then we go on to the next verse. And this is the one that scares us because it seems like it talks about death. He says, and even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. And then comes five words. I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. And that makes all the difference in the world. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Think about what it is that, well, what valley are you in? Some of us are unemployed or we're underemployed. Some of us have health issues going on. Some of us in our families, with our marriages, our children, our parents, our siblings, we're having stress and all kinds of discomfort with all of that. A lot of anxiety going on. I mean, pick your spot, pick your valley, okay? And then, as you think about it, just say these five words. For you are with me. Will you say them with me? For you are with me, okay? That we don't have to be afraid of those things. They're big. The finances are big. The health is big. The struggles that are going on in our life, they're big. But God says to us, you can go through this. You don't have to be afraid because I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be there to kind of watch and protect. I'm going to be there to help. And you're saying, well, God, you can maybe crank it up a little bit, a little more help, a little more protection. And I'm sure He could. But sometimes He takes us through these situations. He allows us to go through difficult times and tough times because He's using all this to build our trust, to build our relationship with Him, to help us to know, you know, how good He is and how strong He wants us to be. We all have rough trails, rough passages to walk through. And ultimately, you know, the hardest one is when we actually come to the point of death, when it's going to be time for our life to be over. And we know that God will make that trip with us. That's why we grieve when we lose someone, but we don't grieve as people who have no hope. And we're afraid when our health is leaking away, but we're not fearful to, you know, in a way that kind of stops us or overwhelms us because God promises to be with us. You know, my wife always says, it's a win-win. She said, you know, if something bad happens, either I'm going to wake up and be with you, Jack, or I'm going to wake up and be with Jesus. Win-win, right? And so, you know, we don't have to be afraid of all this because we know that God will keep His promises and that He'll help us. So the Lord is with us, and you're not alone. Let me go look on, and we see the next passage. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. You wonder now, what in the world could that mean? I'm going to take a little section here from Max Lucado, a great pastor, speaker, and he talks about this whole section, and he says, now, Laura, I just want to know, what does these six words in the fifth verse of the 23rd Psalm, you anoint my head with oil, what connection does a verse on oil have to do with the hurts and the disappointments that are going on in my life? Well, he says a little livestock lesson might help, okay? In ancient Israel, shepherds used oil for three purposes. Number one, to repel insects. Number two, to prevent conflicts. And number three, to heal wounds. Now, I don't know, do any of you like bugs? Okay, do you like them when they fly around your face? They get on your face and crawl, that kind of thing? During the first service, you should have been here. I was reading this and there was a bug up here. Right, just like, you know, like perfect timing. I don't know where he is for the second service. Somebody must have prayed him out, prayed him away from me, okay? But anyway, so, you know, bugs can just bother us, but guess what? Bugs can kill sheep. Flies and mosquitoes and gnats can turn this summer into a time of torture. Consider nose flies. Okay, get ready. This is a little warning. This is not the most pleasant passage you've ever heard, okay? If they succeed in depositing their eggs into the soft membrane of a sheep's nose, the eggs become worm-like larvae, which drive the sheep insane. For relief from this agonizing annoyance, sheep will sometimes deliberately beat their heads against trees and rocks and posts and brush. I mean, this in these extreme cases of intense infestation, a sheep may even kill itself because it's in a frenzied endeavor to gain some relief from this aggravation. You getting the picture? When a swarm of the nose flies appears, the sheep panic. They run, they hide, they toss their heads up and down for hours, they forget to eat, they aren't able to sleep, they stop milking, the lambs stop growing, the entire flock can be disrupted, even destroyed by the presence of a few flies. So for this reason, what does the shepherd do? He carries this oil with him, and he anoints the sheep. He covers their heads with this oil-like repellent, and the fragrance keeps the insects at bay and the flocks at peace. But, you know, they're at peace until mating season comes. And he says most of the year, sheep are like calm, passive animals. But during the mating season, well, everything changes. He says they put the ram into rambunctious, okay? And they strut around the pasture looking for each other. And the males, of course, are very jealous. And they start ramming into each other with their horns and doing damage to each other. And so the shepherd will take and he'll put the oil on their horns, on their head, on their noses. So when they hit each other, instead of a full blow, they're so slippery, they're bouncing off each other, they're kind of slipping by, kind of can't get a hold of each other with all that. But they still tend to get hurt, and sometimes these wounds are the third reason that the shepherd anoints the sheep. Most of the wounds a shepherd treats are from just, well, daily life in the pasture. You know, there's rocks and there's thorns and there's trees that sometimes they rub their heads against. Sheep get hurt. And so the shepherd daily inspects his sheep and looks at all them and tries to see what's going on. He doesn't want the cut to worsen. He doesn't want today's wound to become tomorrow's infection. And so just like sheep, you know, we learn from reading this that we have wounds as well. And that what does God do for us? Our wounds are wounds of the heart that come from disappointments. Disappointment after disappointment comes from, you know, and if we're not careful, our wounds will become, well, they'll lead to bitterness. And so just like sheep, we need to be treated. God wants to come in and be with us. We get irritated with each other. Sometimes we butt heads with other people around us. Sometimes our disappointments begin as irritations. But a large part of our problems really, you know, they're like the day-to-day swarm of frustrations and mishaps and headaches. So, you know, I mean, here sometimes even in the church, we butt heads with each other. It's amazing sometimes how hard-headed we can be with one another. And sometimes our deepest hurts comes from the people here close by to us that we butt heads with. But we need to understand, you know, we're God's people. Psalm 100 says, we're the sheep of his pasture. That God's looking out for us, that he's watching over us. And that he wants to do for us, he wants to protect us. He wants to anoint us with oil, that healing oil that will keep us from hurting each other and from hurting ourselves. God wants to give that to us. You can just imagine, you know, the shepherd coming to the sheep. They're maybe not that cooperative, and he has to grab a hold of them, and basically they have to kind of be willing. He's going to do something for them that's going to help them, to save them from this trouble. And they just need to bow their heads. They put their head down so he can anoint them with the oil and put the oil over their nose and over their horns and everything else and protect them in that way. And isn't that a picture of how God wants us to come to him? And instead of kind of like steering away from him, instead of kind of like pushing him away, kind of, I'm okay, don't leave me alone. God wants us to be able to just to come to him. And sometimes when we're having struggles in our life, the first thing we have to do is just come to him. Instead of wandering away and hiding away from all of that. And then when we come to him, maybe he just wants us to bow. He just wants us to humble ourselves, to put our head down so that he can put his hand on us and touch us and heal us, protect us with his oil. Does that make sense to you? So sometimes maybe Psalm 23 is really trying to say to us, come on, you sheep. God loves you. He's looking out for you. Just come and humble yourself before him. Come and be in his presence. He's got protection for you. Well, the last section, of course, is the last verse, the sixth verse, has these words. It says, surely your goodness and love, your goodness and mercy, will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What's interesting in this passage is that, you know, we always talk about us following God. But in this verse, it actually says that God's goodness and his mercy is going to follow us. Now, that's kind of a strange thought, isn't it? God's going to follow us. He's going to be there with us and kind of, you know, keep giving and guiding and helping us along the way. With our family, sometimes we've discovered that God makes himself known to us. And makes his goodness and his presence known to us so that we can be assured, we can be confident that we're not by ourselves, that he's going to be with us, that we're going to, that the good days are coming when we will dwell in his house, and that he shows us these little signs. My wife Becky was the middle of three children, three girls. Her older sister was afflicted with breast cancer a number of years ago. And when she got the diagnosis, it just hit her like, well, I guess like a punch, like a bolt of lightning. Some of you have been there. You've had those diagnoses come to you, whether it's breast cancer or something else, and then you get these notices, and you kind of wonder what you're going to do. She said she walked out of the parking lot, got into her car, and thought, oh no, my life might be over. I mean, God, are you going to be here to help me? Are you going to help me through this? How am I going to know that you're going to be there? And she said, I just said, God, just give me a sign that you're going to help me, that you're going to be with me as I go through this. And she looked up, and across the parking lot, a hot air balloon kind of lifted up off the ground, way off in the distance, just kind of came up and just kind of stopped there. And she felt in her heart like that was God speaking to her. He was saying, you want a sign? It's a hot air balloon. I'm going to be here for you. And over the next 3 years, as she was going through her cancer treatment, she said that hot air balloons would just show up at the most unusual moments. They would just kind of be there when she was really down, when she really needed help, when she really needed that assurance that God really cared and that he was going to give her the strength to go through all of this. Well, a couple years later, her condition worsened, and she relapsed, and the cancer came back, and she lost her battle. We gathered together out there in Ohio, and we had the funeral. We got to the parking lot. We were driving out of the parking lot on the way to the cemetery, and we looked up. There were two hot air balloons just rising off. Just to say to our whole family, still here, still with you, still giving strength and help in all those situations. Now, I'm sure some of you could say, well, Jack, that's just, you know, coincidence, right? I mean, what does a hot air balloon have to do with, God being there for all of us? I don't know how to answer that. All I can say is that God loves us enough that he'll use maybe all kinds of things to speak to us, to let us know that he's there for us. He could use a balloon. He could use a phone call from a friend. He could use a passage of scripture. He could use a song that's being played on the radio. He could, there's maybe any number of things that God will use these things to kind of say to you, okay, listen, I'm with you. I'm helping you. Don't give up in all this. I haven't forgotten about you. I mean, just a little legacy of this, you know, not only did those hot air balloons come up as we went to the cemetery, later in the day, we'd come back to the house. We were having our little luncheon, you know, kind of post-funeral luncheon. All the family was together. And all the kids came running in from outside and said, come, you got to come outside. And we came outside and stood on the front porch. There must have been 20, 25 hot air balloons up in the air. We got to go, my goodness, God's really overdoing it right now, right? He's really letting us know with all that. And I would say, you know, in whatever pain and struggle that you're going through, whatever pressing against you, whatever struggles going on in your life, just ask God for a sign. Ask him for some kind of a signal. Ask him for some kind of a way to kind of say, God, you're my shepherd. Just show me. Show me that you're there. Just give me some reassurance. I think he'll do it. I think it'll be different for each one of us, but I think God will let us know. He said his mercy and his goodness and his love will follow us forever until that day that we'll live in and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you believe this? Yes. See, I think Psalm 23 can be our prayer. In fact, I'm going to ask that today, maybe as we close our service, that instead of me praying, let's all pray together. And let's pray Psalm 23. Let's let these words not just be familiar words that we can recite by memory. Let's take these words and let them really be applied in our own life so that we understand all of this. So here's our prayer for today. Let's pray together. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Would you just close your eyes right now? Just have your own quiet, private prayer time. The silence of your own heart. You know the struggles. You know the battle that you're fighting. You know the pressure, the burden that's on you right now. Would you just bow your head, ask the Lord to come close to you, to put his hand on you, to bring you protection and healing, to give you confidence, to strengthen you? He's your shepherd. He wants to lead you into new life. He wants to lead you to come close to be with him, to hear his voice. Lord God, we need you. We thank you so much for these words that tell us how much you love us and how much you want to be close to us. Father, we come to you today. put your hand on us, guide us, protect us, strengthen us, and let us walk with you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.